Welcome to episode 1097 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. This is the first recorded judgment of value in Scripture. God sees what he has made and declares it good. The word good, Hebrew tvav tov, appears 6 more times in Genesis 1, each time affirming that creation reflects God's perfect design. In verse 31, after creating humanity, God elevates the declaration, saying, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." This signals that creation, in its completed state, was not just good, but perfect and whole. Within 10 generations of having created Adam, Genesis 6, verse 6, records the following. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. The rapid moral and spiritual decline of creation after the fall raises an important question. How could a world designed in perfect harmony with God become so corrupt in just a few generations? While sin's entrance into the world through Adam and Eve was the turning point, several key factors contributed to the world's swift descent into violence, wickedness, and destruction. Sin is not a static force. It grows, multiplies, and deepens over time when left unchecked. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, the consequences of sin extended far beyond themselves. Their disobedience introduced spiritual death, separation from God, and a fallen nature that would be passed on to all their descendants. Once Cain murdered Abel, the pattern of sin escalated, leading to greater depravity in subsequent generations. Before the fall, Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, enjoying direct communion with him. After their sin, they were expelled from Eden, cutting off that immediate relationship with God. Without this intimate connection, future generations lacked the same level of divine guidance and were more easily led astray. Over time, humanity drifted further from God's will, making rebellion and wickedness the norm rather than the exception. But God was not just full of regret or grief, note Genesis 6, verse 7. So the Lord said, "I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals, and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them."
Today's top 10 list.
10 reasons God decided to destroy the world with a flood.
Number 1.
The world was filled with violence. Genesis 6, verse 11 states, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence." The moral condition of humanity had deteriorated to the point where lawlessness, oppression, and destruction were rampant. Society was ruled by force rather than justice, making it impossible for righteousness to flourish. Genesis 6, verse 4 mentions the Nephilim, mighty men of renown, which some interpret as rulers or warriors who used their strength for conquest and oppression. Instead of using their God-given abilities for good, they dominated others, perpetuating cycles of injustice. This speaks to the abuse of power and unchecked ambition.
Number 2.
Every thought was evil continually. Genesis 6, verse 5 describes humanity's total depravity. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sin was not just external, but deeply rooted in human nature, and there was no desire for repentance. Sin had affected not just actions, but the very thoughts and desires of the human heart. With each generation, people became more entrenched in sin, leading to a world where wickedness became all-consuming.
Number 3.
The line between the righteous and the wicked had become blurred. Genesis 6:2 speaks of the sons of God taking wives from the daughters of men. One way to interpret this is as the intermarriage between the godly lineage of Seth and the corrupt descendants of Cain. This compromise led to the spread of wickedness, even among those who had once followed God.
Number 4.
The corruption of marriage and family. Marriage, a sacred institution established by God in Eden, was being perverted. Polygamy and unrestrained lust became common, breaking down the foundation of stable, godly families.
Number 5.
The misuse of human intelligence for evil. The antediluvians were highly intelligent, skilled, and capable of extraordinary achievements. However, they used their knowledge not for righteousness, but for self-glorification and rebellion against God.
Number 6.
The rejection of divine warnings. God gave the people ample warning through Noah, described as a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, Noah called people to repentance, but they mocked him and refused to listen, sealing their fate through their persistent rebellion. And Noah was not the first to call out the wickedness of the people. His great-grandfather, Enoch, had also been a prophet and preacher of righteousness. So too, his grandfather, Methuselah. But the warnings went unheeded.
Number 7.
The earth itself was corrupt. Genesis 6 verse 12 states, God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. This implies that not just humanity, but creation itself was affected, possibly through environmental destruction, genetic manipulation, or spiritual defilement. Some scholars argue that dinosaurs may have been the result of genetic modification. While there is no definitive biblical proof that dinosaurs were genetically engineered, the concept of genetic corruption is hinted at in Genesis 6 and supported by some historical theological writings. If pre-flood civilization was highly advanced, it is possible that human or fallen angelic influence played a role in altering God's original creation.
Number 8.
To reduce the prolonged lifespan of human beings, before the flood, people lived for centuries. This longevity meant that sinful individuals had much more time to accumulate power, influence others, and pass down corruption to future generations. A person who lived for hundreds of years could build an empire of wickedness, ensuring that sin flourished across multiple generations.
Number 9.
The flood was a last act of mercy. The flood was not just an act of judgment, but also an act of mercy. If sin had continued unchecked, humanity would have destroyed itself completely. God's intervention preserved a remnant through Noah's family, ensuring the survival of the human race.
Number 10.
To preserve the lineage of the Messiah, the plan of salvation was at stake. Had evil overrun the world entirely, there would be no faithful line through which the Messiah could come. Noah and his family were chosen to continue the line that would eventually lead to Jesus Christ. It is interesting that God allowed Noah nearly 100 years to complete the building of the ark. Through all that time, God patiently waited. Noah preached to the people of that time about what was coming. They did not believe Noah and were content with their wickedness and idolatry. Their hearts were hard and their ears dull. No one repented, and no one cared to seek God. Jesus said that the world will be much the same before he returns to set up his earthly kingdom. He warned us to be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1-4, gives us a clear picture of the state of the world before Jesus comes, and most likely also describes the world in the days of Noah. That verse says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." It is becoming increasingly obvious that, to understand what the world was like in the days of Noah, we only need to watch the evening news.
And God said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth."
Father, we see in the story of Noah a warning and a call to righteousness in a world that so often turns away from you. Help us to remain faithful, to walk in obedience, and to be messengers of your truth as Noah was. May we take refuge in your grace and be ready for the day when you bring ultimate restoration through Jesus Christ. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.